Bet you guys thought this podcast didn't exist anymore. Hey everyone, I'm Fenyo. This is the Early Printing Podcast and we're here to talk about MMA, mostly the UFC as we usually do. We just had an event on the Apex, a heavyweight main event between Tai Tuivasa and... what's his name? The winner? Tai Vura. And we have a bunch of fight announcements and we have another Apex event this weekend. So let's get right into the action. So Tuivasa versus Tai Vura. Marcin Tai Vura just walk over to Tuivasa. Tuivasa land a nice elbow on the clinch. He's pretty good at that. But he showed terrible takedown defense. Was going for hammer fist across instead of defending the grips when Tai Vura was going for the double leg takedown against the fence. Tai Vura, very solid from top position, just got the rear naked choke, put Tuivasa out. So good for Tai Vura, he's one of the better ones at heavyweight, despite like his very weird style. He's super jank on the feet, but he has some ideas of footwork and head movement and guarding. He doesn't strike with a lot of power most of the time, but he puts out consistent volume. He seems to be in good shape for the division. He has a takedown game and solid grappling, so that's that. I'm not against Tai Vura, to be honest. Tuivasa is now on a 4-fight losing streak, I think. People are calling him a bum because he couldn't defend the takedown. I'm like, fair enough for that. But I still think he's like a good addition to the heavyweight division. This should have not been a main event considering that Tai Vura was absolutely washed by Aspinall in his last fight. And Tuivasa was absolutely washed by Volkov in his last fight. He's submitted by an Ezekiel choke from Mount. So, but yeah, I mean, nothing against Tai Vura. He's alright. Good for him. A co-main event for some reason had Brian Battle against Ange Loza. And Battle here looking pretty good. He's super long. He kicks very hard. Punches hard as well. I get a lot of people mad saying that he fights disgusting. Like nothing appealing aesthetically about his style to me. And he doesn't do like anything very interesting either. He just seems to be like good and very big for the division. Battle was like winning very comfortably. Not damaging Loza that much, but the commentary team was losing it over the block kicks. For Battle's credit, like he kicks very hard. He seems to kick very hard. And then I think he was defending a takedown and Battle put like his whole thumb inside the eye of Loza. Very bad eye poke. Loza made the obvious mistake of telling to... I mean, maybe it wasn't a mistake. We'll get into that later. So he said, I can't see, to the doctor. And the fight, as per rules, is immediately stopped at that moment. Did Loza want it out of this fight? I don't know. I don't think it's completely impossible, but I don't like to make that kind of judgment on fighters. I think most fighters are like very brave people. And to be honest with how rough the sport is, like when you lose, you might be out of a job and a no contest might save you of that. I wouldn't even blame it. Even if I think it's a bit of like dishonorable, I think it's okay to like bullshit your way out of a fight that you were going to lose. I'll be completely honest, but I don't like to think he was looking for a way out despite looking at a super loss in the fight. He was not losing like super hard yet. Maybe he could have turned around. They got into a ridiculous confrontation after the fight. Battle was claiming that he wanted out, that he was kicking his ass. He said that it should have been a win. It was very lame, to be honest. Like, if you are into that kind of shit, like, I don't know, man. Maybe you have bad days, I don't know. Obviously, proof for Kennedy and Sejuku. Was, like, okay? This would have been a lot more okay if it was on, like, the yearly prelims. But this was on the main card, like, 2 fights apart from the main event. And the main event was heavyweight, so it makes, like, sense. Seishuku just like was getting volume kickboxed by Obinson Prue for some reason. Obinson Prue like showed maybe like career best boxing at times. Seishuku completely incapable of punishing his head movement. And Sapru, for his credit, was doing like some good head movement, was making sure to pivot at the end of his combinations. He dropped and Seishuku at the beginning of the third round with a nice like D'Amato shift where he like doesn't switch his stance, just like turns his feet and his hips to change stances after hitting frames, and he hits like an uppercut under the frame from Seishuku. Was pretty cool actually. Yeah, I mean, good for Obinz. I always like Obinz improve for some reason. He's not always the most exciting, but he does like cool stuff, and he's like a big athletic dude. And Seishuku is like, I don't know, man. I feel like he's talented, he's kind of smart, but he just doesn't put it together. I think this like generalist kind of shit that Seishuku is trying to get going, is playing against him. He should try to specialize, and also he needs to stop fighting like his league. Like he would throw like a straight punch that is nowhere near close, and he would like, you know, do those kind of moves like, ooh, I'm so cool. Like, bro, you're not. Like, you're okay, but you should not wasting time trying to look cool when you're kind of mid on the feet, you know? Not trying to be overly mean here. I think Seishuku has a lot of good qualities. I think it's maybe something mental or the coaching that is failing him, but I don't think he's living up to the expectation of someone, because he has a lot going on for him. He has decent cardio for like heavyweight. He's fucking huge. He's like probably like 250 outside of camp. He has an enormous reach. He's not like maybe the most powerful, but he has like decent pop. He has cardio. He has toughness. Like, come on, dude, put it together. Like, I'm not expecting him to be champion. I don't think he's got from that cloth, but he should be a lot better than this, to be honest. Before that, we have my boy C-Rod Christian Rodriguez. He was fighting Isaac Dulgarian, a very high prospect wrestler. And Dulgarian was putting it on wrestling wise, not a lot of damage. And first round, he got to some good positions. Rodriguez was trying to create movement. He was making sure to always get scrambles going, but Dulgarian was like one step ahead the whole time. Dulgarian even went for some Peruvian neckties on the first round. Then second round, Dulgarian like could not achieve like the same dominant positions. He drive to the fence a lot. He got a position, didn't get anything going. Rodriguez landed very few strikes, but clearly like more damage on the second round for Rodriguez. And then third round comes, Dulgarian is wasted. It's like the Rosas fight all over again, but this time at a featherweight. And Rodriguez just like beats his shit on the third round, doesn't get the stoppage. I was afraid that judges were going to go like Dulgarian 1 and 2. 1 and 3 were surprisingly scored 10-8s all across the board by the judges. So the deciding round was the second one that two judges gave to Rodriguez. I think that's the right score. Very happy for Rodriguez. I just hope he could make like 135 consistently, because he's like very talented, a very cool fighter. One of my favorites to watch in the roster for sure right now. And Dulgarian is like, it's like impressive, but he needs to get the striking going. He looks so bad striking. I know he was tired on the third round, but it didn't look like he knew what he was doing. Macy Chiasson and Pani Kiansat had a rematch for some reason. Kiansat got to top position. He was doing good stuff. Chiasson took the back. I don't remember how. I haven't rewatched this one. Took the back in a scramble. Rear naked choke, Chiasson wins, and that's that. Gerald Mirchard fought Brian Barbarina. Mirchard just schooled him all over. Like, he was doing good stuff, both moving on the outside, pressuring, and timing the takedowns. Made a thread on Twitter about how Mirchard was timing when Barbarina was trying to probe with his lead hand. And also Mircea jabbing himself to draw the counter, the check right hook by Barbarina, both guys southpaws in this matchup. And Mircea just shooting like good takedowns under him using the knee slide, putting him against the fence, lifting or in open space, like cutting the corner aggressively to get him to the ground. And then he got the rear naked choke on the second round. Very good performance for Mircea. Barbarina should not be at 185. He already moved early in his career for 155 to 170 and turned into like a guy that looks in bad shape but had actually like a lot of cardio, durability, was physically enough for welterweight. And now that he's older, he tried to pull the trick again and it's not working out. Barbarina is way smaller than everyone at 185. He doesn't seem to have the physicality to defend takedowns, and defensive grappling has been a liability for him in the past. It hasn't translated in like surprising like speed and power like in the case of Whittaker a lot bigger than Barbarina, if we're honest. Like, yeah, Barbarina just should get his shit together and go back to 170 if he wants to still be a UFC fighter. Good for Mircea, obviously. He looked very good. Mike Davis for Nathan Levi. Or Levy, I don't know how do you say that, the guy from a country that doesn't exist. Davis looked fantastic here. Dropped him with the first punch of the fight, got into a scramble, defending a leg lock attempt, got another takedown, got a triangle choke. Very cool stuff by Mike Davis. I think I've heard in some... I haven't seen the interviews, but I saw people say like Mike Davis doesn't like to fight. And man, what if he did like it? Because he's so good, man. It sucks that he doesn't fight more often. I'm a fan of Mike Davis. If he retires, I don't know, that would be sad, but I just hope the best for him. He seems like a cool guy. Chelsea Chandler for Josiane Nunes. Fucking mess of a fight. Chandler was way, way, way bigger. And it was still like close. Like damage-wise, I don't know, it was pretty bad. Jafel Filio fought Ode Osborne, got a takedown like immediately, took the back, never relentless with the pursuit of the rear naked choke, he got it. Filio, like a good addition for 125, I like him, very aggressive, grappling, very resourceful, and on the feet he's not very technical, but he throws hard. What else? Danny Silva and Josh Koulibal had like the fight of the night. This fight ruled. Danny Silva came out like a house on fire, landing hard on Koulibal, hurting him like three times very early on the first round, and then tried to mix it up the takedowns. Koulibal got going. Koulibal so tough, so conditioned, but also he's like sleek with his striking. He's kind of janky with his movements, but he like takes good angles, mixes his targets well. And then Silva on the third round adjusted, like started pressuring a bit harder, started finding Koulibal. And then the takedowns, the physicality for Silva, who I think missed weight for this fight, sadly. But I mean, it was a very good fight, both guys, very cool. If you haven't seen Silva's fight on Contender Series, that was insane. His opponent is also debuting in the UFC soon, so... yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was like the coolest moment of the fight. And I could not get clips for you guys about this one because the BOD for the whole event had the audio was fucked up. And then the BOD for the singular fight was completely messed up. It was like a steel frame. So hopefully they already fixed that. And if they did, I'm going to make some clips about this fight because it was very cool. Jacqueline Mamorim for Corey McKenna. Amorim pull guard, I think, pursued the armbar. Very cool armbar. There's a lot of breakdowns already. But yeah, Amorim is cool. McKenna is also cool, but she needs to figure the grappling out. Thiago Moises for Mitch Ramirez. Thiago Moises got a takedown in the first round. Got some good stuff going on. But then second round, Thiago Moises gets going with the calf kicks. Very in the style of like... Alex Pereira, like not turning the hip over a lot, like hitting with the side, getting them short. He was just like doing like short like setup with the hands on, upstairs and kicking him, and then Moises would like circle force a reset, and when Mitch Ramirez, who is like very heavy on the front foot, was trying to like engage again, he would get calf kicked again like very hard. So he get the finish by calf kicks. Very beginning of the third round, brutal finish. So good for Moises. He looked very impressive in this rebound fight. And the opener was also a banger. Shatan Helger, my boy. He fought Charlan Post-Grigoriu, who fights out of Cerro Longo, I think. And Helger got like kind of grappled on the first round. Then on the second, Grigoriu goes super hard for the takedowns. And Helger is the one like landing hard elbows to the side of the head. All the damage from Helger. Then on the third round, Grigoriu is tired and Helger gets going and puts some beautiful combinations against the fence. Should have gone for more calf kicks. He himself said that on the third round. But after two straight losses, I think he wanted to secure the win. He felt like he could do it like that. And yeah, very good performance for Helger. Helger is kind of old, not very big for the division, so I'm not expecting much of him, but he's very cool. And he trains with Hakim Dawadu, so that camp, maybe not producing like world champions, but very high on my list of producing like very cool fighters. That was the event. To be honest, a lot better than I was expecting. If you haven't watched like Angelica versus Grigoriu, Dani Silva versus Koulibal, and Rodriguez versus Dolgarian, make sure to watch those because those were very good fights. Let's get into fight announcements. There's a lot. Not very ordered. But we'll get into that, and then we'll preview this Saturday's event. So let's see what we have. Let's get the big one out of the way. We'll have a lot of UFC 301 that is going on in Brazil. The card seemed to be finished, looked pretty weak, but now we have an announcement that the GOAT, the MVP, he's back, Jose Aldo, is back to fight Jonathan Martinez in a bantamweight bout. Not sure how I feel about this. Not sure why Aldo is coming back after retiring, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, taking boxing fights. I thought he was like pretty much retired. Not sure. Maybe he will, some theories about Jose Aldo wanting to fight MMA elsewhere, and he has like a single fight left in his contract, so he's fulfilling that. I'm not sure. But seems like a good fight. I mean, I'm usually very worried about like aggressive kickers against old guys, and I think Martinez showed that in his fight against Cub Swanson. But Aldo has been historically like very hard to kick. He will have a big boxing advantage against Martinez here, so maybe this is good matchmaking. I'm still very scared. Like, if Martinez wins, it's not the end of the world. Martinez is very cool, but obviously I want the GOAT to want here, especially in Brazil. It would be a magical moment. Waldo Cortez Acosta, who some might know, I'm not a very big fan of. I think he's very boring. But he is fighting Robelis the Spine, the huge Cuban Taekwondo guy that's fighting there. This one is very interesting because Cortez Acosta is like a lot bigger and more athletic than your average heavyweight. And he has a jab. So, will the Spine be able to kill him? I'm not sure. This is like a very big leap in competition, even from like Josh Parisian. So, yeah, I mean, this is good matchmaking. I'm all for it. And whoever wins like makes like some waves at heavyweight, I guess. This is going on May. So, Michelle Watterson Gomez is fighting Gillian Robertson on a strawweight bout. This one is interesting because Watterson has been like a very solid grappler late into her career, but she also got like submitted by the guillotine by Amanda Lemos. And she will have like a very decent like speed and striking advantage, but Robertson is a monster of a grappler, especially at 115. So, but Watterson kind of hard to take down and good scrambler, so very interesting fight. It's winnable for Watterson. We'll see how, if Robertson is like finally putting the striking together, because I feel like she has some very good ideas on the feet, but she's kind of like too raw, too mechanical to get going. Michelle Pereira is taking a quick turnaround to fight at UFC 301, he's fighting Mahmud Muradov. Interesting fight because Muradov is like athletic, not huge. Like, they keep this weird trend of Pereira not fighting like super big dudes at 185. So moving up from 170, he still gets to be the bigger guy most of the time inside the cage. But Muradov could be an interesting challenge for Pereira. Pereira is going to be fighting at Brazil. He will have the crowd behind him. Interesting fight. On that same event, Carolina Kowalkiewicz, my girl, is fighting Yasmin Lucindo. Oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Lucindo is like powerful and athletic. Carolina obviously like doesn't have the athleticism that she once had. Not that she was like an elite athlete, but she was like pretty strong, decently quick. But after like changing camps to ATT, I have talked about this a lot. She's like pretty decent technically. Like she gets going with the jab. He has good setups for a pretty decent right hand. He can double with the right hand. Goes for takedowns for the clinch. So could be a good fight. I'm a bit scared that she's going to get hit very, very hard though. The main event for 301 is Alexander Pantoja, my boy. Bom dia, galera! He's fighting Steve Ercek for some reason. I mean, I'm not against this. I think Ercek is a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, he's coming off of a huge KO, but not giving the title shot to Mokaev is very weird, to be honest. I get that he's going with the knockout, Mokaev with a not-so-convincing decision, but still kind of weird. But this one is probably going to be a banger. I have no problem with this being the main event of a pay-per-view card. My issues come with the rest of the card, but it's now a bit stronger with Joseph being there, I gotta admit. Vettori was supposed to headline an event against Brendan Allen on April 6th. But Vettori is out, he's getting replaced by Chris Curtis, so we have a rematch. Chris Curtis finished Brendan Allen with, I think, with body shots on the first fight. We'll see the adjustments. Brendan Allen has grown a lot of confidence, his striking has gotten a lot better, and he has tried to grapple people a lot more, and that's like his wheelhouse. Chris Curtis remains like very, very hard to take down. And he's like a tricky southpaw for anyone that is going to engage with him. Allen has a lot of experience fighting southpaws, not only Chris Curtis the first time around, but he has fought quite a few of them in the UFC. So he's pretty good at the open stance matchup. We'll see how this one goes. But it's a solid scrap. I'm not against it. Nasrat Haqparast is fighting Jared Gordon. And when it comes to like 155, outside top 15, this is very solid. Interesting to see how Gordon will deal with the speed of Haqparast. If Gordon gets to the ground, Gordon very underrated as a grappler. He might give Haqparast a lot of issues because Haqparast is known for not training a lot of grappling early in his career, and I'm not sure if he has closed the gap since. He's a decent wrestler, he's very athletic and generates scrambles, so it's hard to hold him down. But it will be interesting because Gordon is legit on the ground, has like good transitions to takedowns. But yeah, Haqparast is going to be like a lot quicker and a bigger hitter on the feet. But Gordon has boxing chops of his own, and this one is a good fight. This one is good. Jonathan Pierce, JSP, is fighting David Onama. Pierce coming off that brutal loss when he told him like do something and he got submitted. But Pierce is very good, but I feel Onama is like a bad matchup just because Pierce relies a lot on being like well-rounded, especially using transitions to get to the grappling world where he's like a solid wrestler with good like top position grappling. And Onama is fucking huge, very athletic, and also super well-rounded. So I feel like Pierce will have trouble like imposing his transition game here. Onama, I feel like he's the better striker and might get to top position himself. It's still a very good fight at featherweight, this one is. What else we have? Lightweight, Grant Dawson is fighting Joe Solecki. Very interesting, because both guys like very solid grapplers, decent strikers. I think Solecki might be the better striker of the two. Grant Dawson is like bigger and stronger, I feel. Solecki has a huge back, so I would be very interested in see how they look like next to each other for this one. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this one's kind of bad for Solecki because he relies a lot on being like the stronger wrestler and grappler, and I don't think he will have that against Dawson, who is a fucking dog, man. But yeah, I mean, very interesting fight. I like when they match these kind of grapplers. Because I'm sure they're going to engage on the ground, I think. It's not very likely that this is going to be like a sucky kickboxing match. Anthony Smith is fighting Vitor Pretino at UFC 301. I'm doing a lot of that thet sound for some reason here. okay. If Pretino doesn't like kill Anthony Smith in this one, like all the hype is gone, you know? Like, and I'm not going to say anything else about that one. Billy Quarantillo was supposed to fight Gabriel Miranda, which, like, why? But now Miranda is out, and we have the comeback of Yusuf Salahu, who I like a lot, but I don't think this is a good matchup for him. But this is going to be a banger. Banger. Very good fight. This one is going to be exciting. I'll keep an eye on this one. Quarantillo, you know, he brings the pace, he brings the pressure. He's insane. Salah likes to move on the outside, but very well-rounded, mixing in the takedowns, so he has good clinch. Has in some slick boxing he goes. He likes the body shots too, so this one, it's going to be an all-out war, I feel. Tyra finally gets like a very good test, I feel. He's fighting Tim Elliott. These fights, Tim Elliott versus like rising prospect that is a grappler is always great. And this one is yet another case of that. I'm very excited for this one. Very excited to see how Tyra deals with the scrambling, the wrestling scrambling from Tim Elliott. How he deals with the awkward striking. So this is a big test for Tetsudo here. And we have Jalen Turner is fighting Renato Moicano. I feel like Moicano is going to get fucked up in this one, to be honest. And I'm fine with that. Moicano looks to have like a big advantage when he gets to top position, but Turner showed. Obviously, Moicano is like, if he gets a takedown, it's a lot more probable that he's going to achieve like good top control than, for example, Gamrot, but Gamrot is like way better wrestler. Is Turner a better defensive wrestler than Drew Dover? Probably. So we'll see. And Moicano likes like his length to set up the jab and the leg kicks. And Turner is fucking huge, and he's going to be a lot longer than him. And also very good at punishing like both jabs and leg kicks with his like counters. So I feel like this is very bad matchup for him. But those are the fine announcements. Let's get into this weekend. UFC event. We have UFC Fight Night, Amanda Rivas versus Rose Namajunas. Pretty good main event. A lot of people are against this one. I think this one is fine. Let's remember that Amanda Rivas dropped back to strawweight, and she looked like pretty good in that Luana Pinheiro fight. She looked like a step behind early, but then she got going. She's like a dog, man, and the cardio, insane. She has very good condition, she pushes hard, and she's a tremendous grappler. Now let's remember that Amanda Rivas took down Mackenzie Dern, was never swept by her, and Dern like basically sweeps everyone on the ground from her back. So Rivas is legit, so it will be interesting to see how he fares with Rose, who is dropping back to strawweight after failing to win a fight against Manon Fiorot at flyweight. Rose will have a big edge in the striking, but Rivas pushes hard, and Rose doesn't like all that pressure on the feet. When it comes to the ground, Rose may be the better wrestler, but I think Rivas might be one of the few in the division that it's like straight up a better grappler than Rose. So, and over five rounds, like, Rivas will have chances to get going. She needs to be careful with the hands of Rose, because Rose hits hard and Rivas has been hittable. But if she survives early and can like put a pace on Rose, I don't think like Rose's cardio is bad or anything, but I think she doesn't have like having a fighter on her face the whole time. It would be smart for Rose to pressure here. Hivas needs to mix the takedowns, try to put Rose against the cage, and just get like exchanges going. Very good main event, I like it. Co-main event, on the other hand, is a bit of a mess. Carl Williams, who is like a heavyweight that wrestles a lot, and not very excitingly either, like he's just like athletic enough to take people down. He's fighting Justin Taffa, who might kill him on the feet, but also might get taken down. So a very like true outcome fight here. Not sure why this is the co-main event. I guess it's just the UFC having a huge boner for heavyweights. We have a fight between Edmund Shabazian and AJ Dobson. AJ Dobson did not look very impressive in his win against Staffon Shukri, and he did not look very impressive in his two losses before that. I mean, he looks like a very good athlete, and he has like a well-rounded game. He can wrestle. I'm expecting Shabazian to like kick his shit in this one. Peyton Talbot is fighting Cameron Simon. This is like an exciting fight at 135. Talbot, to be honest, I didn't think much of Talbot in his contender series fight. Like, he looked like big and durable and powerful, but he looked like a lot better against Nick Aguirre, even though he got wrestled. The thing to me in this fight is that Talbot is like way bigger than Cameron Simon, and it's just because like there are some huge like bantamweights out there. Simon is not small at all. He's like 5'8". He's kind of on the skinny side, but should be on the skinny side at that height at 135. But yeah, I mean, I'm a bit worried about Simon on this one just because Talbot is like a fucking big dude. But it's going to be a banger. Like, Simon is so scrappy, hits hard, and Talbot like just pushes forward. He has like that insane undefeated confidence. Simon also fights with that confidence, but he lost his last fight against my boy Christian Rodriguez that we talked about earlier. So how he will look after that, I don't know. But yeah, this one is maybe the best of the night. If we don't count the next one, that is Billy Quarantillo against Yusuf Salal. I just talked about this one. Quarantillo, Salal, this is action guaranteed. Unless this is like a super early finish or some fluky thing happens, this should be a very exciting fight. I'm very high on this one. Luis Pajuelo is fighting Fernando Padilla. Pajuelo looked very mean in his contender series fight, and I like his performance a lot. He's not like a super slick boxer in the pocket, but he has like tight hooks that he throws with power. He positions himself well. And on the ground, he has nasty ground pound. He goes to the body a lot, both on the feet and on the ground. So I like Pajuelo a lot. Padilla is like this weird, very long guy. Not a big fan, but he's decent. And it's going to be interesting if Pajuelo gets going to the body and that kind of stuff against Padilla that hits very hard and is very long. So yeah, I mean, cool fight. Trey Ogden is fighting Kurt Holobaugh. Didn't think much of Trey Ogden. He won like a very boring decision against Daniel Sulhuber that didn't do much. And then got washed by Ignacio Bahamondes. But then in his last fight against Nicolas Motta, he was looking great. But the ref stopped the fight and declared a submission when there was no submission. So he got robbed of the best win of his career, sadly for Trey Ogden. But a lot more interesting in him after that performance. And Kurt Holobaugh looked fantastic in his Ultimate Fighter run and in his fight against Austin Hubbard. He looks so nasty, so mean. So this is a cool fight. This one is good. We have Ricardo Ramos versus Julian Irosa. We have another banger here. Like, Ramos got guillotined by Charles Jourdain in his last fight, but before that, he's been action all around. If you haven't seen the spinning back elbow that he landed on Danny Chavez, go look for that because it was fantastic. His fight with Subara Tukhu, great fight too, despite him losing that one. But yeah, Ramos just bring it. It's very exciting. especially when he gets to pressure. And he's fighting Juicy J, Julian Erosa, who finds himself in a two-fight losing streak, both by knockout. When Erosa has relied a lot on being like super durable, Erosa is very, very long, and it's very cool when he gets going, pressuring guys against the fence, especially when he goes with the body shots. So it will be interesting to see who pushes forward here, who gets to pressure, because I think like both guys have their A game when they have their opponents with his back against the fence. Another good fight. Miles Jones is fighting Cody Gibson. So Miles Jones looked very good in the fight against Miles Morales. Got submitted by Joe Castaneda though, but yeah, I think overall Miles Jones has looked very solid in his UFC run. And Cody Gibson, I think, have looked great too in the Ultimate Fighter run. And he looked great in his fight against Brad Katona. Just got outdogged in some moments. And he lost some big moments when he got rocked. Some pivotal moments. But I think Cody Gibson looked very good in that fight. So very excited about this one. I think I'm favoring Gibson to win here. We have Steven Wynn against Jarno Ahrens. And I feel like I don't know anything about either of these guys. Okay, so Steven Wynn, Contender Series, I do not remember, I'm sorry. And Jarno Ahrens is that guy that lost his last fight against Sung Woo Choi. He's like very tall, I remember, but I don't remember much. No, I don't have anything to say about this one, to be honest. We have a fight between Montserrat Rendon and Daria Shelezhnyakova. And yeah, Shelezhnyakova comes from Ares. Don't know anything about her. And this is bantamweight, by the way, so I don't know anything about this. And Rendon made her debut against Tamires Vidal. I'm pretty sure I watched that fight, but I don't remember anything. So I don't have anything to say there. Igor Severino is fighting Andre Lima. We have a Brazilian on Brazilian fight here. Severino comes from Contender Series, and so does Andre Lima. Don't remember either one. I will have to watch tape to know who these guys are. And the opener is Muhammad Usman versus Mick Parkin. Don't think this is going to be like super exciting, but this is like good matchmaking at heavyweight. Mick Parkin has looked like very well put together, but kind of like not very exciting. And Usman is like a mixed bag, you know. He sometimes gets to wrestle some dudes, sometimes he hits very hard. I don't know. I feel like I like Mick Parkin more, despite him being kind of boring sometimes. And that's the event. When it comes to Apex cards, this one is not that bad, to be honest. Fights to look forward to. I like the main event, to be honest. I like the main event. Talbot versus Simon is like an exciting prospect fight. Billy Guarantillo versus Salal is like the opposite. It's like veterans. Despite like Salal is only 27 years old, but he's been fighting for a while now. But yeah, this one is going to be all out violence. Pajuelo versus Padilla has the potential to be good. So does Ogden versus Holobo. Ramos versus Erosa is going to be fun. Miles Jones versus Cody Gibson. So like half of the event is good. So I don't have many complaints. This one is not one of the worst that we ever seen. There are a lot of cool fights. I just wish we had like two more fights that were kind of important. But the main event holds like divisional importance. So I'm fine with that. And that's the podcast, guys. Remember, if you want to support the fight site as an ongoing project, you can head over to our Patreon. I've been releasing more content, especially like edited videos from recent fight that I cannot put on YouTube or Twitter because they're going to get nuked. So you can watch analysis for that on the Patreon, and we have like a big backlog of exclusive content, and you can also get access to our Patreon to our Discord server. That is very cool. We're a lot of cool people to talk about fights and life. So there's that. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I have an article coming later. I don't know if later this week or early next week, but it has something to do with that bony thing that we have at the end of in between your shoulder and your wrist. It is part of your humerus bone. I won't get into anatomy right now because I woke up not long ago and I'm not very sure where I am right now. But yeah, that's the podcast, guys. Hope you enjoy. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.